Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Kevin Williamson of National Review Online filling in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Kevin, it's been a pretty volatile week, as it turns out, in these debt ceiling negotiations at the White House. They've happened every day since Sunday. By all accounts, absolutely nothing has been agreed upon because we still have this standoff over whether to raise taxes or absolutely refuse to raise taxes. And now, of course, the latest development seems to be that the president stormed off in a huff. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in our podcast. But apparently he got into it a bit with Eric Cantor, the same Eric Cantor who was rumored to, at least, of early in the week, been pushing John Boehner not to accept the grand bargain and play more hardball when it comes to negotiating with the president. And I think a lot of folks heading into this new Republican majority weren't necessarily all that fired up about Eric Cantor, and a little bit of the track record is mixed, to be sure, over the first few months of this new Republican majority. But at least in the past few days, it seems like he might be the one with the strongest backbone in the room, especially when you consider what Senate Republicans have been saying.
Yeah, you know, Eric Cantor is a he's a tough, smart guy, and he is one of the Republican leaders who understands that this is their last chance to get it right on the fiscal stuff. He knows that if Republicans don't get serious about getting the debt under control and getting spending under control, that they're history. That's what they're there for. They didn't get reelected in 2010 because the people love them all of a sudden. It's because people are terrified about spending and the debt load we're carrying. And now he's advocating at this period a series of short-term increases, which to me sounds like a recipe for chaos between now and November of 2012, although chaos may very well be what they want. It's hard for me to get too excited about them saying, well, we're going to draw a line in the sand on taxes, because honestly, no, you're not. As long as you've got a deficit, you've got taxes. You're just deferring them. You can tax today, you can tax tomorrow, you can tax some other time, but you're eventually going to pay for all your spending. But, you know, as a way to take a move toward getting spending under control, then I think it's worth pursuing.
Yeah, I think you're also right, though, in a little bit of a caveat to this good martini, and that's that his idea of multiple short-term extensions isn't a great idea. Mitch McConnell, of course, has been raked over the coals, and if anyone listened yesterday to the Three Martini Lunch, you know that Jim and I disagreed about the quality of the McConnell plan. But whether you do it over a bunch of short-term extensions or give the president kind of a blank check to do it, it probably shakes out just about the same in the end. So I don't think a lot of conservatives are excited about the Cantor plan, but I think they're pretty impressed about the fact that he's willing to at least go toe-to-toe with the president and make sure that the president doesn't end up walking all over Republicans, which is what a lot of folks thought when they heard John Boehner exclaim about a week ago that we could have a grand bargain within 48 hours. So,
yeah, I think what Cantor here is saying, you know, when he got in the argument with the president said, well, I'm going to take this to the American people. I think Cantor's saying, okay, tough guy, you do that. Let's have a debate about the debt every 3 months between now and the time you run for reelection. Let's let you talk about raising the debt ceiling every couple of months, and let's just make that the millstone to put around your neck. I think that he thinks politically it might be a useful thing for Republicans, particularly whoever the Republican nominee is for the presidency in 2012. I'm not sure if he's right about that, but I suspect that's what he's thinking.
On to martini number two now, and this is the bad martini, of course, and not a huge surprise given where we are in the calendar right now with these debt ceiling talks. Moody's has said that it will end up reviewing U.S. debt again, possibly downgrading our credit rating a little bit more. Obviously, this has got the attention of both parties, but not in the way that I think most relatively apolitical Americans would like. A flurry of press releases, of course, came out as soon as the Moody's news broke, and you've got Republicans saying this is proof that we can no longer go along with this unchecked spending and ongoing push for tax increases by the Democrats. The Democrats are saying this is just more proof that the Republicans are not doing what is responsible and making sure that the American people have their obligations met as a government and so forth. So instead of forcing people to try and figure out what really would be good for the country, it seems like it's going to be a tool for both sides to try and bludgeon the other over the head with.
Yeah, the credit rating agencies, of course, are the Mr. Magoo of the financial world. You know, they don't see very far into the future. So when you've got their attention, that means you're in real trouble. You know, they're not the guys who are doing the diagnosis. They're the guys who are doing the autopsy. They're the ones who are going to tell you after the fact how you got it all wrong. If these guys are getting nervous and getting excited about our situation, that probably means we've already gone over the cliff and we're just waiting to hit the ground. That worries me significantly. Now, what everyone is worried about in the credit rating agencies is that they think that if we don't get a long-term spending plan enacted as part of these debt ceiling negotiations, then it's not going to happen until after the 2012 election, which they're beginning to calculate, as a lot of other people calculate, may be too long. You know, we may not actually have until January, February, March of 2013 to straighten these finances out before we have a real fiscal and monetary crisis upon us. A lot of the argument has been, well, you know, we'll make the 2012 election about spending and balancing the budget and the deficit, and we'll have it out, and then one side will win, and we'll either get higher taxes after the election and balance the budget that way, or we'll get spending cuts after the election and balance the budget that way. But we may not make it to the election, and that's a worrisome prospect.
Yeah, I think one thing Mitch McConnell said is right. As long as Obama's president, any self-respecting conservatives are going to have a very hard time finding common ground with him, given what he's outlined as his agenda for making this debt ceiling extension go forward. So on to number three, and referring back to the president, the storming off in a huff seems to be the big story of the day. The bigger story probably should be the fact that, as you mentioned, we're headed towards a financial abyss, and it's even more clear than it was a day ago because of what Moody's has forecasted now. But now, of course, the latest development is this meeting on Wednesday night, which apparently did not go well at all because Cantor was talking more about short-term fixes and or at least ideas, and the president saying he wants none of that. And, of course, the line of the day is, Eric, don't call my bluff, which, as Jim pointed out in the morning jolt, suggests that you're bluffing, because otherwise there would be no bluff to call. And so it's also, I think, a little bit pulling back the curtain on the wizard, because Obama was always described by his friends and allies as this guy who is completely unflappable. Well, apparently he's been flapped.
Yeah, he was always, you know, kind of Mr. Cool. Apparently he's not much of a gambler, though, with his with his bluffing terminology. It was petulant, I thought, and sort of odd, out of character for him, because he normally is pretty calm and collected and doesn't tend to be a very emotional politician. The disappointing thing about where Obama is right now, I think, is that in spite of all the rhetoric to the contrary, I suspect that Republicans probably could accept a deal that includes some sort of tax increase if it were based on something like what Ryan had been talking about, what the Simpson-Bowles Commission had been talking about, which is lowering overall tax rates both for personal and business income, but getting rid of a bunch of exclusions and exemptions and things like that. And even if such a thing were structured in such a way that it would be a net tax increase, the rate reductions coupled with the exclusions would be, I think, a good deal that a lot of people would get behind. But Obama's not bringing anything like that to the table. He's saying, well, let's just jack up rates on, you know, people I promised to jack up rates on. And that's not going to get you where you want to be fiscally, because you could raise taxes, you could double taxes on the rich and still not close this deficit. You have to have much more broad-based tax reform than that. And so to make that your hill to die on, the thing you insist on, which won't solve your problem, and guarantees that you won't get any support from the other side, well, how do you expect to go into a negotiation with House Republicans and come out of anything useful? So, yeah, he's going to get his bluff called. And guess what? When he goes to the American people, as he promised to, and said, here's what we need to do, raise taxes and jack up the debt ceiling, I don't think that hand of cards is going to come out the way he thinks it is. I think he's holding a pair of twos.
Seems to be the case so far, because Republicans, at least some of the ones at the table, don't seem to be all that intimidated at this point. I think what he's probably most surprised about, Kevin, is that he's actually given, I think, 2 to 3 public speeches or at least statements on this in the past week, and America hasn't swooned. So I guess we're still at least one speech away from everybody singing Kumbaya together.
Well, you know, I mean, this is the one thing he has no credibility on. It just is. He doesn't have anything to say about it. He's never proposed any sort of original idea, any sort of independent thinking, any sort of real credible plan. Look, the Democrats never passed a budget when they controlled Congress. You know, we haven't had a budget from the Senate in, 811 days now, something like that. Mm-hmm. So you can't, you know, come out and never even bother to pass a budget and say, well, we've got a plan for a balanced one. I mean, you've got to have a budget in the first place to balance it.
That's exactly right. I saw one stat yesterday that said the last time the Senate passed a budget, Ted Kennedy voted for it. So, it's been a little while since they've actually accomplished perhaps the most fundamental thing that they're sent there to do. So,
yeah, these guys have really got to get their act together, and they've got to do it before September.
Yeah, well, the clock is ticking, certainly, whether it's August 2nd or September. Kevin, great to have you with us. We'll talk to you again later.
Always a pleasure.
Kevin Williamson of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.